Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Four, if you would. 2 Thessalonians 1 and Romans chapter 4. We began, I guess this is about the third message in this series on ever increasing faith. How many of you want your faith to grow? Say amen. Amen. Your faith will not remain where it is. It will either increase or it will decrease. Can I say that again, church? Your faith will not remain the same. Your faith will either increase or it is going to decrease. As you encounter situations in life, your faith is either going to be strengthened or it's going to become weaker. And we want to, y'all do want to be have strong faith, right?
Yes.
Come on, say it with me. I want strong faith.
I don't want weak faith.
Say it one more time. I want strong faith.
I don't want weak faith.
Amen. Bible tells me in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that, and if you got a King James, if you're following me along, because that what? Your faith groweth exceedingly. Ever increasing faith is what we're talking about. Paul said to these Thessalonians, I thank God because your faith is growing, and he goes on to say, and the charity, which simply means love of every one of you toward each other, aboundeth. So two things are happening. Your faith is growing, he says, and your love toward the brethren is growing. We need that today, don't we? We need that today. Over in Romans chapter 4, again, we find the man of faith that the Bible mentions. And let's skip down to Romans 4 and verse 20. We've been talking about Abraham, the man of faith. The Bible says he was the father of us all. Now, if Abraham had faith, don't you think we need to have faith? And here the Bible said in Romans 4 and 20, talking about when God made him a promise, those of you been with us, God made him a promise. How old was Abraham when God promised him he's going to have a son? 75, ripe old age of 75. Now, humanly speaking, he was past childbearing years. Humanly speaking, Sarah was past childbearing years. And if they were to go look in a mirror and look at their physical bodies, they would say, ain't no way this is going to happen. Ain't no way. But Abraham believed God. Regardless of what he saw, regardless of what he felt. Y'all with me so far? Faith is not seeing. Faith is believing the impossible. Faith is stepping out on the promises of God, recognizing that God cannot lie. The book you hold in your hands, is it God's word? Can you trust it? Is it relevant today? Does it apply to 2019? Yes, it does. Look in verse 20. Bible said, talk about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But, read this with me, church, but he was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Being fully persuaded, verse 21, that which he had promised, he was able also to perform. Look at verse 21. Fully persuaded, not a shadow of doubt, not a thread of unbelief, even though it didn't happen immediately. 75. 76 came, no son. 77 came, no son. 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 85, and so forth until he was almost 100. 25 years. 25 years of trusting God. Yeah, wow. Think about it, folk. Are you praying for something and you're saying, I'm trusting God, but then after a week or a month or a year, all of a sudden your faith begins to wane and your faith begins to get weaker and your faith, all of a sudden you just give up and you say, well, I guess it just wasn't going to happen anyway. Hey, if it's found in the Word of God, if it's based in the Word of God, God's Word is true. Just because you don't see it immediately, just because you don't feel it immediately, don't mean it ain't going to happen. Some people pray for healing. And just because it don't happen immediately, they think God's not going to do it. Amen? They say, well, I don't feel anything. I guess I'm not healed. They say, I don't see anything different. I guess I'm not healed. Because of your unbelief, you will limit God. Y'all talk to me, church. I'm trying to help y'all out. Listen, we're going somewhere with this morning. Amen. And Abraham, even though here he was, humanly speaking, no way under heaven, no way, and nobody had ever heard of something like that happening before. By the way, nobody had heard about a virgin conceiving and bearing a son, but it happened, amen? Faith. God wants your faith to increase, and it should be increasing. 2019 should be a year of faith. Hey, listen, 2019, we ought to, Brother Darrell, we ought to be able to step out in 2019 and trust God like we never have trusted Him before. Come on, church. Look in verse 19 of Romans 4. The Bible said, talking about Abraham, he was not weak in faith. But in verse 20, he was strong in faith. Which one do you want to be this morning? It's your choice. Talk to me, church. You say, it's not my choice. Yes, it is your choice. It's your choice. You choose whether you want to be strong in faith or you're going to be weak in faith. Your choice. You say, I want God to do it for me. God's already done it for you. He's got it right here. You've got to believe it. You've got to step out. And what did we do last week? Was it like we claimed it by the promises of God. A declaration of faith. If you weren't here, boy, it was a blessing. Folks standing up and saying, I'm trusting God for the salvation of my brother. I'm trusting God that He's going to put my home back together. I'm trusting God for the healing of my body. I'm trusting, hey, can we not do that and believe it? Well, that works for some people, but it don't work for me. Amen. It works for everybody that believes. Let's move on this morning. I'm going to try to share some things with you. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul said, we're bound to thank God always. Why? Because your faith groweth exceedingly. This ought to be happening in every believer, not just a few, not just the Sunday school teachers, not just the deacons, not just the pastors. It ought to be happening in every believer. If you're doing the right thing, faith grows exceedingly. Now, turn with me, please. Flip on to Romans 12 and verse 3. I want to show you something here this morning. I need your help. Would you all right now just bind Satan? I know Satan, listen, Satan's trying to get your mind. Right now, some of you are wondering what's going on, and as time permits, I will tell you from what I know, but right now, the most important thing, you know what Satan tries to do, Jennifer? Satan wants to reach down and steal the seed right out. Brother Chip, he wants to steal the seed out of you. He's getting your mind distracted. Brenda, he's trying to get your mind distracted. Listen, the most important thing that could ever happen right here, right now, is right in this book. Amen? Right now, and Satan knows that. And Satan is a master. He tries to steal the seed before it has time to germinate, before it has time to get in good ground and germinate. He wants to reach down and he'll cause a distraction. He'll cause a disturbance. He'll cause somebody's phone to go off or whatever. And you get your mind off and you're thinking about what's going on out yonder, or what I'm going to do this afternoon, or where I'm going to eat lunch, or whatever like that. Hey, let's look here this morning. The most important thing is increasing your faith. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man. And if you're with me, read this last part. The measure of faith. Does God give faith to everybody? He does. I was in a preacher's meeting, Brother Steve, one time, and a guy was preaching, and he's supposed to be a well-known Bible teacher. I not call his name, but well-known across these United States. He and I, we don't see eye to eye on some things. One of the things that we don't see eye to eye on, he believes that God's just going to save a certain elect few. And he said if God intended for everybody to get saved, then he would give faith to everybody. I wanted to jump up and say, you're wrong, but he has given faith. Amen? Now, hold your place there. Turn with me. And I need some help this morning. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. Are y'all there? All right. Here's what Paul said. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Oh, preacher, we just found a contradiction in the Word of God. No, you didn't. No. Here it is in plain redneck everyday English. God has given you and me a measure of faith. What we do with that measure of faith is left up to you, is left up to me. God has given us, Brother Chip, a measure of faith. He gave you the faith to believe to get saved. He gives you, if I want to call it this way, baby faith. Childlike faith, just enough faith to get you saved. You under how many of you would say, I've grown in faith since I've been saved? Would you raise your hand? All right. So God gave you faith to believe. Now what you do with that faith is left up to Chip Graham. It's left up to Brenda Milner. It's left up to Frank Thacker. It's left up to Bonnie Cagle. What you do with that faith will determine whether your faith grows or it goes the opposite direction. Y'all with me? Turn to Matthew 25. God expects every one of us, from the pulpit down to the last pew, God expects our faith to grow. He don't want us to remain baby Christians. Say amen. He wants us to mature. And by the way, if your faith is not increasing, you better get it increasing, because you know why? You're going to have some obstacles. How many of you, help me out right now, how many of you got a mountain facing you right now? Mountain of finances, mountain of sickness, mountain of debt, mountain of turmoil, mountain of home, whatever. You've got something you cannot fix. I used to try to fix everything. I did. As a preacher, I used to try, Bonnie, I used to try to fix, when I was younger in the ministry, I used to try to fix people. Honest. I figured, you know, I would do it for them, or I would force them to do it. And I learned something. I cannot increase your faith. But you're going to need your faith to increase, because you're going to have some obstacles. You're going to have some mountains. How many of you would say this morning, preacher, I want the faith to move mountains in my life? Amen. Amen. He said if you got faith as a grain of mustard seed, just a small amount with God, all things are possible. Amen. Now, look with me. Matthew 25, and for the sake of time, let me condense this down a little bit. Matthew 25, we usually read this having to do with talents that God has given us. By the way, if God's given you a talent to sing, to teach, to work, or whatever, God expects a return on his investment. Not just talking about money. God expects a return on his... If God has given you certain abilities, God wants you to use those abilities for him. Will y'all say amen to that? So, preacher, I don't know what my gifts are. The Lord will show you. Amen? Somebody came to me about a week or so ago and said, preacher, I want to serve the church. I said, okay, good. Praise the Lord. What can I do? I said, go through the pews. You see gum wrappers, pick them up. You see trash on the floor, pick it up. You see something that needs to be done, just do it. You got a light bulb that's burnt out, change it. Amen? It don't take a rocket scientist to do some of them things. Amen? Come on, church, help me out now. If God given you an ability, he wants a return on his investment. By the way, if you don't, I've known of piano players. Church, first church we were in, pastor's wife, she used to be a piano player, but she quit playing. And guess what? God took that talent away from her. Yeah. She lost the ability to play because she didn't use her talent for the glory of God. Are y'all with me, church? Matthew 25, I'm going somewhere, so just hang with me in just a few minutes. All right, Matthew 25, 21, and here the Lord has a reckoning day, and he's calling these servants in, and he says to one of them, he said in verse 21, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou have been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee rule over many things, enter now into the joy of the Lord. First servant, God had given him a certain number of talents, and he used those talents. He got interest on those talents. And God said, well done. Second servant, verse 22, he said, I gave you two talents. And he said, Lord, I took those two talents and I've gained two more talents. Verse 23, the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou have been faithful a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. All right. Third servant comes in. He said, Lord, I took and hid my talent. And he said, you're a wicked and slothful servant. Take the talent that he had and give it to one of those other servants. Now, God expects a return on his investment. That means if he has given you a small measure of faith, he wants you to have more faith to give back unto him. Say that one more time, preacher. If God has given everybody in here a measure of faith, God wants you to take that measure of faith and increase that faith so that your faith grows exceedingly and it is a testimony of what God can do. All right. Here we go. Turn with me now while you're in Matthew's gospel. Turn over to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Look in verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. We're not going to be here too much longer. Just hang on. Matthew 6, 19. We often hear this. Preachers preach this about not accumulating goods down here on this earth, and that is true. However, that's not what I want you to see. Now watch this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. If you found your place, say amen with me.
Amen.
Good. All right, here we go. 19. Laid up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look at verse 22, everybody. Look at verse 22. Read this with me if you've got it open. For the light of the body is the eye. Stop right there. The word light is Greek word lamp. Your eye, as somebody has said, are the windows to your soul. Your eye will tell people what is on the inside of you. Your eye merely transfers what you are looking at to your brain. I'll say a little bit more about this in a second. But your eye is like a camera lens. In other words, what you are focusing on right now, and it looks like most of you are looking at me, or either your phone. I hope you're looking at the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Your eye, as you look at something, light comes into your eye, and it goes to the backside of your eye where your retina is. They tell me, actually, that image is upside down on the backside of your eye. It is then transferred by the nerves, your optic nerve, to your brain, and your brain interprets what you are looking at. Are y'all with me? Do this for me. Would you turn around and look at the clock on the back wall? Just look at the clock for a minute. Am I still here? Don't turn back around. Am I still here?
Yes.
You're looking at the clock. How do you know I'm here? But you're focusing on the clock. Turn back around and look at me for a second. Whatever you are focusing on is what you're going to see. If you're looking at that clock, now everybody knows it's 12:05, all right? I'll not do that again. Now you're looking at me. When you were looking at the clock, did I go anywhere? But you wasn't looking at me. Was I still as real 30 seconds ago as I am now?
Yes.
But you wasn't looking at me. Your eye was focusing on that clock. Now your eye is focusing on the preacher. Now here's what the Bible says. Let's read on down for a second. The light of the body is the eye. That is this. The eye is to the body what the sun is to the universe in the daytime, or a lamp or a candle to a house at night. And that's from Adam Clark's commentary. He said in verse 22, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But in verse 23, if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I'm going somewhere with this. The eye is a lens as to what you are focusing on. If you are not focusing on God and His Word, you're not going to have faith. If you're focusing on your circumstances, you're focusing on the doctor's report, you're focusing on your bills, you're focusing on worry, you're not going to have faith. Get your eyes off of your circumstances and put them on the Lord. For whatever your eye is focusing on is going to be a gateway to your soul, and that's what you're going to concentrate on. Let me prove this to you. Stay with me. The physical body reveals spiritual things. When you focus on something, those images, that clock right now, you don't need to even turn around and look at it, but right now you can recall the shape of that clock. It's octagonal. You can recall what it looks like, the hands of that clock, because that image is now burned into your brain. The same way it is with spiritual things. Do you know why some people don't have faith?
because they're not concentrating on spiritual things. Did everybody get up and pack out and move? Amen.
The reason why some people don't have faith, you're not going to get faith at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning to 11:45 or 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. Your faith is going to increase on a daily basis when you are in the Word of God.
And if you're not in the Word of God, your faith's not going to increase. Faith coming by hearing, and help me out, hearing by the
Word of God.
That's like I said, every time you miss a church service, it's not, I miss you. Yes, I miss you. We miss you here. But you miss something that you cannot replace. You may miss a testimony. If you hadn't been here this morning, you wouldn't have heard Brother Danny give a testimony about this man. Amen?
Amen.
What am I saying is this. It is important to be in the house of God so that your faith is going to increase. Y'all did say you wanted strong faith, right?
Amen.
Watch this. Read verse 24 and 25. No man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, take, here in verse 25, take no thought for your life. Let me explain this. I like to read after Adam Clark. I like to read after John Gill. These old men of God, these old, they're back in the 1800s and all, I like to read because they are pretty sound. Adam Clark said this in verse 25. Be not anxiously careful. This is the proper meaning of the word. Anxious, from dividing or distracting the mind. To be anxiously careful concerning the means of subsistence is to lose all satisfaction and comfort in the things which God gives and to act as a mere infidel. Let me put that in redneck, common, everyday English. Whatever you are focusing on, if it's anything other than God, it's going to produce worry, anxiety, fretfulness, distrust, unbelief. You focus on the things of God, it's going to build faith. You're going to get stronger. You're going to trust God more if you put your faith and trust on the things of God. But if you put your eye on the things of this world, it will produce anxiety in your life. What are you worried about? Well, I'm worried that my son's not going to make it. I'm worried I'm not going to have enough money. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about this or that. John Gill says this. All anxiousness, immoderate, perplexing, distressing thoughts and cares, such as arise from indifference and unbelief and tend to despair, which are dishonorable to God. Here, let me break it down for you. Here's what it means. Don't be anxious about your life. Don't have fear. Don't be nervous. Don't worry about what might happen. Don't be fearful about anything. Look at this verse. Y'all with me, church? Look at verse 25. What shall you eat or what shall you drink? Here's what he means. Don't be fearful about what you're going to eat today. How many hours you eat one meal today? Thank God for it, amen? How many of you plan on eating lunch? Raise your hand high because my wife and I, we're going somewhere, amen? Some of you right now, you've already determined where you're going to go eat lunch, how much you're going to spend, what you're going to order off the menu. You're more focused on that than you are focused on God's Word. Look in verse 25. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Look at verse 25. I'm going to help you out here. Not me, but the Lord. He says, take no thought for your life. What shall you eat? What shall you drink? And the next part, nor yet for your body, or what you shall... What's that next one? Don't be worried about what kind of clothes you have. Thank God we all have clothes. Amen. Yeah, y'all wear clothes. But you shouldn't be worried about what kind of clothes you wear. And by the way, what this verse is saying, don't be afraid about what you're going to eat. Don't be fearful about what you're going to eat. Don't be fearful about the clothes you're going to wear. Don't be fearful about your kids' clothes. I'm going to say it again. the quicker y'all can say amen, well, the quicker we get out of here. Don't be fearful about your kids' clothes.
Amen.
Don't be fearful or anxious about what you're going to drive.
Amen.
Don't be fearful or anxious about what the doctor says.
Amen.
Don't be fearful about what the school says. You need some rubber erasers. Where am I? I don't know where I'm going to get them. I've looked everywhere. They want us to bring a bottle of hand sanitizer. I don't know. Don't be worried about all that stuff. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Say amen right here. Don't be fearful about what the doctor says.
Amen.
Don't be fearful about the rent you owe.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Don't be fearful about the rent you owe.
Amen.
Don't be fearful about your mortgage payment. Don't be fearful about the house payment, the utility bills. Here he says, don't be anxious about anything. Why? Read on. Because your heavenly Father knows you have need of all of these things. And then, by the way, anybody else got a red letter Bible besides me? Is that in red? So who is talking right here? If he said it, can you take... All right. Now watch this. Verse 26. I'm going to have to pull this down. Behold the, what? Them birds. Never one time, Jennifer, have I ever walked outside and the birds out there complaining about what they were eating. Never one time. Never one time have I heard a crow saying, ah, I don't know where I'm going to, I don't know where I'm going to get some nice food. You know what? If they probably could talk, Brenda, you know what? They'd probably be sitting on that telephone line out there and they'd go, look at that old boy down yonder. He has to get up every morning. He got to go to work. I don't have to do none of that. I'm eating good in the neighborhood. I ain't worked a day in all my life, have you? No, I ain't. Jesus said, behold, he said, look at the birds, look at the fowls of the heaven. If I can take care of them, can I not take care of Chip Green? Can I not take care of Katie? Can I not take care of Brenda? If I take care of the birds, Jesus said, all them birds, and when it comes to snow, they don't run to the store and get a loaf of bread, honey. My Heavenly Father. I don't know where they get it, but they get it. After a snow, you don't see a bunch of birds laying over, killed over, dead because they starved to death. Heavenly Father took care of them. He'll take care of you. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Put your faith to the test. Now watch this. Read on. For yet your body, don't have any thought about, verse 26, behold fowls of the air, for they sow not. They don't go out and throw out any kind of seed. Brother Eddie back here, no telling. I think I know about how much he spent feeding these birds, all these doves, and they never did. Well, a few of them showed up when we went hunting, but I'm imagining They sat back and they got their bellies full of all that seed he put out yonder. And then when it came time to go hunting, guess what? God said, hey, y'all hide in the woods. I prayed them down. Amen. Watch this, verse 26. Are y'all getting any help? Not only that, but we're going to get... Now, verse number 26. He said, these birds, they sow not, they don't even reap, they don't go out. Brother Reese, they don't get the tractor out, and they don't go. But I guarantee you, when you go out and you combine them soybeans, there's probably a bunch of them right behind there, and they're right down the field, and they're going, look at, we got a buffet going on here. If God can do that, can he not take care of your utility bill? If God can do that, can he not take care of your expenses? Come on, talk to me, church. We're getting the rubber to the road right now. Read on, verse 26.
They don't reap, they don't sow, they don't put it up in barns and silos, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than all them crows?
Yes, you are. Verse 27. Two interpretations I give them to you real quickly. Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Referring to his height, or I read some other, also it refers to the length of your years. Some of you, hey, I'm all for taking vitamins, medicine, listen, but I got news for you. When God calls your number, you're up. Amen? I saw something on the internet the other day. Some guy spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to prolong his life. I forget, to be 180 or something, I forget. But, you know, you have these people that they freeze themselves, cryogenics, and they you know, get thawed out in the future when they find a cure for all this. Honey, I got good news for you. Don't matter what you do, you cannot add 1 year to your life. You can't do it. Now watch what he says here. Which one of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your life and your stature? So by worrying 1 minute, you are depriving and wasting your time. Can I say that one more time? By worrying 1 minute, you are wasting your life. Let's spend it profitably. Amen. All right, last thing, and I know I'm done. Verse 28. And why you take thought for your raiment, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? And here is the clincher statement. Read it with me, church. Oh, ye of little faith. I don't want to be, oh, ye of little faith. These disciples, they were more concerned about what they were going to eat, what they were going to wear. They were concerned about how tall they were. They were concerned about how long they were going to live. Jesus said, you're worrying about the wrong stuff. You can't do anything about that. And let me take care of you. Put your faith in God. Strong faith or weak faith. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Whereof shall we clothe? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father, if you're with me, your heavenly Father does what? Knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Did Jesus say it? Did Jesus say it?
Yes.
Can we take it to the bank?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Put your faith in action. Whatever mountain you're facing, we'll talk more about moving mountain, but whatever mountain you're facing. Brother McDane didn't hear this morning. Last Sunday night, gave a testimony. McDane, for over 2 years ago, he wanted us to pray that he get a job at Thomas Built Buses. I have a friend that works at Mickey Body. And I asked my friend, I said, are they hiring? Yeah, they're hiring. He said, tell them to come over here. We'll put him on. Okay. I went to McDane and I said, they're hiring Mickey Body. I'm holding out for Thomas Bus. And I'm thinking, here's a sure thing. I'm holding out. So we prayed. Guess what happened? He got a job at Thomas Bus. Worked there about 2 years. Got laid off about 6 months ago. He's been texting me. You know, preacher, pray for me. And what I've been encouraging, have faith in God. Trust the Lord. You know, he texted me about a week ago. He got called back to work. Started back last Monday. Amen. Have faith in God. Just because it don't happen immediately, don't mean it ain't going to happen.
Amen.
How many of you got a mountain in your life? Raise your hand. How many of you like to see that mountain move? How many of you believe it can be moved? Miss Bonnie, can you go to the piano for me?